First of all, we are moving forward, Beis Hashem, with Siyata Dishmaya in our Sefer about the Kovetz Ezra's Torah. And I would like, we extended the deadline for the people that are submitting Chidushei Torah. Everyone's invited to submit Shtikl Torah Maseches Gittin. We put out a Sefer on all the different Masechtas. And you're invited to submit a shtickle. The deadline to get, there's a 100 shekel reward for those that submit their shtickle achtera. The deadline is already over, though we've extended it till 2 Bishvat. So you have some time, Rabbi Sait, to still do it. Everyone's encouraged to put something in, and you could work with your Rebbe, with your Meshiv, with Rabbi Mandelbaum, with Rabbi Chayas, that's Moshe Sigelman's Chavrusa, with any of the above, you could work with them in order to bring out an idea that you feel that you formulated. It's a beautiful opportunity to actually put something in print. It's a sefer that we have given out to many different Rosh Yeshivas and many different yeshivas, and it's a big schus to be able to contribute in that way. Everyone's encouraged to do that. We are learning the Sefer Chovetz Talmidim. It's fascinating. This is my old printing. I love this one. Actually, I told Aryeh Friedman that I was going to give it to him. I'll get there. Once I go through it, I have to copy all my notes because I have lots of notes in here. I'm going to give it to him. But I have the old copy, and then most of you, any of you that have the Sefer, have the new copy. We have, if anyone wants, you're welcome to take. We have, and you're welcome to have it and write notes if you want in yours, but there's like, it's interesting, I found a difference here. The past few weeks we weren't using the old one, only the new. I found an interesting sentence that was left out. I don't know how they did this. I don't know what happened over here. They found like a manuscript or something, how they changed some words, but there's some changes over here. We are right now in the middle of the 11th perek. We're on page Tzadi Vav in the new printing. Page Tzadi Vav in the old printing. We're on page Kuf Yud Beis. Kuf Yud Beis. Yeah, that's where we are. But I'm going to close that one. So here we are, page Tzadi Vav in the new printing. And we were speaking about a person having expectations of himself. We're speaking about a person realizing that anything less than a certain darga is intolerable, what it means to be a yid, the expectation a person has to have, what's considered to be, you know, a pashti yid. People speak about, I just want to be a pashti yid. Vas meintos a pashti yid? What does it mean to be a pashti yid? And understand that back in the day, a pashti yid had so much that he had accomplished. And we're speaking about pashti yid, and that there was zocha to nevuah, there was zocha to ruach hakodesh. And if a person realizes that's what it means to be a pashti yid, how many dargas a person has to reach in order to just be a simple Jew, and it's not tolerable anything less. And the moment a person doesn't tolerate it, we spoke about that necessity is the mother of invention. A person says, I got to reach it. I'm going to get there because this is what I expect of myself. Not only others expect of myself. When a person feels that he has to do it, he'll do it. And that's why Kafalim HaKigigis HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, listen, the Torah is not just a list of things that you could voluntarily decide if you want to do. You don't do it, you're dead. A person does that, says, realizes, wow, this is really hard, but I'm going to do it because I got to do it. A person realizes something he has to do, he makes it happen. So therefore, we have to try to realize that there are certain things that we can no longer accept from ourselves. Let's look at what we can expect of ourselves or who we can become. Listen to this. Chachamenu Zechorinam Levracha on page Tzadi Vav. Chachamenu Zechorinam Levracha Oid Amru Shenavim Kiflayim Kiyotze Mitzrayim. The Chachamenu Zechorinam Levracha says that back in the day, how many Navim were there in Klal Yisrael? Imagine a Navi. Imagine how special. A Navi is probably like, you know, he's probably Chad B'Doira. He's probably like, there's only one of them in each generation. We don't have any Nevoim anymore. But back in the time, you know how many Nevoim there were? There was twice as many as the people that left Mitzrayim. That means, Hainu, Meiv Esim, Riboy Nevoim, 1,200,000 Nevoim in Klal Yisrael. That means everyone had one on their block, at least, you know? There was a Nevi on the block, at least. 1,200,000, I don't know if that means more than on the block. I mean, that means that every couple of people was a Navi. The Pasuk doesn't speak about them. Only a Nevuah that was necessary for future generations was written. There are certain nevuahs that were temporary for that moment. That he had to tell that specific person for that specific situation, and there was a nevuah, and there it was. The only nevuahs that we have are nevuahs that we can learn something from now, that they're relevant even today. They're nichtavu l'doros. Nevuah shelo hutzruch l'doros lo nichtavu. That's what it says in the Gemara in Megillah Daf Yud Dalet. Ubemedrash shir hashirim isa, shemispar zeh shel nevi'im, haya b'doroi shel Eliyahu hanavi bilvad. In one generation there was 1.2 million Nevi'im. That's only one generation. That means aside for all the other future generations, past generations, just in the time of Eliyahu, there was 1.2 million Nevi'im. Chutz min Nevi'im shay b'shar ha'doros. So Nevuah is like pretty regular. Now to understand that means that a person has to go through so many different like stages, steps. He has to go through Zerizus and Zehirus and Nikius, and he has to go through so much in order to reach the level of Ruach HaKodesh and then Nevuah. And they were all doing it. They all did it. Because that was what was expected back in the day. So, Gadlus HaNavi Al Shar Yisrael Haisa. What was the difference between a Navi and the rest of Klal Yisrael? How could you define the difference? Shehaya Tamid Navi. He was consistently a Navi. The difference between a Navi and other people was, a Navi was always Navi. He was always on. A Navi was Tamid Navi. Umadregas Neviuso Haisa Yesera Harbi Alem. He was much higher than them. Limashal, for example. Ata yeshnam tzadikim, shehem tamid tzadikim. There are certain people, they're always tzadikim. On good days, on bad days, at shachris, at mincha, at ma'ariv, weekends, weekdays, beginning zman, end of zman. They're consistently nevi'im, consistently tzadikim. Ovde Hashem, b'mida meruba kol echad lefi madregos. So each one is consistent. Avol gam kol ish Yisrael. But every single one of us have our moments. Every single one of us have that like special maisa that we did, that special davening that we had, or that special like chesed that we did. Every one of us has moments. What's the difference between us and real gedolim? Gedolim live on that plane. They live there. They stay there. They're consistently there. By us, it's not always, but at least it's every once in a while. Even if we're not doing as great, maybe we're not doing huge maises, but we have our Shemoneh Esrei, that was a better Shemoneh Esrei. We have our moments when we do a maisa of tztok, a maisa of chesed that was like out of our ordinary, that was like unique and that was good. We do that. But it's every once in a while. It's erratic, it's sporadic. And that's not it. That's not a Navi. That's the way it was also. When you deal with who was a Navi back in the day, it was like this. There was 48 Navim which we knew about. They were deemed. They had the title of Navi, each one of his Madrega. Nevi'im Tamidim, they were always on. They were always a Navi. K'moy Shamar Kosif, Navi L'goyim Nesaticha. I made you a Navi for the Goyim. That became your title. That became a description of you. It wasn't like today's a Navi, tomorrow's not a Navi, every once in a while when it's in the mood. Aval Nevuah Pa'amis Le'es Tzairach. But an occasional nevuah when it's necessary, like the story of Manoach and his wife, or Kishabah ben a nevuah, where someone comes amongst nevuah and he has like that moment of elevation and he peaked. Every person was able to do that, to peak, to get a moment, a high. Back in the day, Klal Yisrael were close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the heavens were open. And people just like mamish, they like went up. And they had those moments of tremendous elevation. Whenever Hashem wanted to, he spoke to his children. We have a similar type of phenomenon. It's just we're a much lower level, but it's a similar type of thing. We have our ups and our downs and our ups and our downs. Moshe Rabbeinu, the title that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, and this was probably the greatest accolade you could ever give to anybody, because Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest man that ever walked the earth. Eved Ne'eman Karosaloi. Eved Ne'eman means he's reliable. I can rely on him. I could trust him. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't like he was having like a bad day and he wasn't like doing it. Moshe Rabbeinu pushed through everything. He was always there. He was always on. Kadosh Baruch Hu could rely on him. It wasn't like, you know, today he's not feeling it. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't go through that stuff. I mean, it wasn't that he didn't have the challenge, but he pushed through. Moshe Rabbeinu was consistent, and he made it happen on a consistent basis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could rely on Moshe Rabbeinu. I know he's going to be there. Story just came into my head. It's a Pele de Kamaisa. Pele Ploim. It's a beautiful Baltimore Maisa. Everybody said, this is Mamish Spitz Baltimore. Here goes. There's a Yid in Baltimore who Nebuch, he suffered a brain aneurysm. He collapsed on his front step. And Baruch Hashem, he lived. What happened? How did he live? Because he used to get, there's a street called Park Heights. And on Park Heights, they used to pick up all the Junger Leit. Whoever's driving would go down Park Heights and pick up the Junger Leit on Park Heights. This Junger man never, ever missed being picked. He was always on time. Always on, he was always there. So one time they're driving down Park Heights, and he's not there. So like, what? Why is he not here? This doesn't make any sense. Let's go check out what's going on. They drove to his house, and he collapsed in front of his house. And they called right away 911. There was no Hatzalah back then, and they saved his life. Because he never, ever missed. Never, ever missed. That's the epitome of consistency. That's Eved Neman. You could count on him like clockwork. If he missed, something really wrong must have happened. And they found him. That was Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, there was once a story, it wasn't that long ago. There was a bachur in yeshiva. I challenged him to do 3 blot shakla v'tari Baal Peh. You wanted something from me? I said, you want something from me? I want something from you. 3 blot shakla v'tari Baal Peh. He said, I can't do that. I said, yes, you can. No, I can't. Well, then you're not getting it. Okay, I'm going to do it. And he did it. He did it. I asked him, how do you feel after you finished doing it? He says, well, I feel amazing. It was like, great. He had a kinyan atayra. I said, great. So, let's continue. That was it. Done. He got what he wanted. Finished. What's the difference between him and Reb Chaim Kanievsky? I'm saying one difference. Reb Chaim Kanievsky lives there. He lives there. He's constantly there. We push ourselves for a week, for 2 weeks, and we do it. That's what we're doing. But we have to live in that place. That's someone who's consistently doing it. Reb Chaim's constantly doing shakla v'tari, amila v'amila, mesachtas. So we do, every once in a while, a blot. We do, you know, big, we're going to go do a parak. Reb Chaim's doing mesachtas. He's doing shas. Because he didn't stop. He started doing this when he was younger, and he's still doing it. He's living on that plane. That's the only difference. He wasn't born more gifted than us. He's more motivated, maybe. He's more consistent than we are. We do it every once in a while. And we do it during Seder, during most Seder. You know, once you already hit the weekend, then already we're like, you know, ready to turn off. Reb Chaim doesn't turn off on the weekends. That's the difference. We've experienced it. It's a high that we go through. And it's like, wow, I really have clarity in my learning. You know, a bacha recently said to me, he's also doing, he said, I haven't gotten a Gemara so klar in, he was telling me around 5-6 years, I haven't gotten a Gemara so klar. So continue doing that. What are you going to stop? You finally get this clarity. Oh, but it's so much hard work. Okay, that's the question. That's it. That's the difference between someone great and someone good. Are you ready to live there on that constant, the intensity and the work, and to do that, that's a person who becomes a Navi. That's a person who becomes a great person. V'matzav ram v'kadosh kazeh hayinu oz v'eich matzavenu ata. That's the way we were. Back in the day, Klal Yisrael, 1.2 million Nevi'im. Let's look at how Klal Yisrael is now. 1.2 million non-Nevi'im. Yoroid Yoradnu. How we have fallen. How we have gone down. Nitamtamnu v'nisrachaknu. Timtum, the timtum, the filth that's blocked, the blockage in our neshama, the blockage, the nisrachaknu, the distance that we feel from HaKadosh Baruch Hu today. Mitchila poska hanavua. Once it was, there's no more number one. Okay, I'm still a good yid. Still being like, you know, Ruach HaKodesh. That's not so shabby, you know what I'm saying? People walking around with Ruach HaKodesh, that's pretty impressive. Okay, no more nevuah. Is it so bad? So first there was no more nevuah. V'achareya gam Ruach HaKodesh. And then this big tzaddikim doing lots of vodis and Ruach HaKodesh. Okay, they're still the very hush of the people. And we start slowly slipping. And then there's no Ruach HaKodesh. And then there's people that don't have the Kinyan HaTorah, and then slowly people don't have Diktuk HaMitzvahs, and before you know, we're like, he's not an axe murderer. Come on, he's not such a bad guy. What's so bad? It's not so bad. V'ata ma gedoyla ha'azuva or ma Rava Hester. How big is the distance? How great is the Hester is like the darkness or the blockage. Even if we want to just get a little inspiration, a spark of inspiration, a little spark of Islavus, of like a fire. Just the smallest sliver of light, the smallest teeny little spark and little flame. Shel nevuah, kama trochois v'kama yegiois. Tzorach adam Yisrael l'troich. How hard do we have to work just to get a little bit of feeling, lisiageya alav, and how much we have to work for? We had a special guest speaker on Matzah Shabbos, who apparently is talking to the people, and he was telling how he's like sick and tired of hearing people are not connected. People are not connected. Everyone's talking about they're not connected. People are feeling not connected. I could relate to what he's saying. People say they're not connected. So he said, you're pulling the plug. What do you mean not connected? You pull the plug. Because a person's injecting all types of toxins into his brain. So of course you don't feel connected. But that's the generation. I've said over, I don't remember, I think I might have even said it very recently, that the Goyin says, Ikvasa de Mashiach. I think I might have said it here, I don't remember where. Ikvasa de Mashiach means we're living in a generation which is the heels of Mashiach. The Chofetz Chaim gave us that label. Chofetz Chaim, as far as I know, I don't know if anyone could find, I don't know where we got the label Ikvasa de Mashiach, who gave it to us. When did we become that generation? Who was the first one to say, we're in? Chofetz Chaim had Ruach HaKodesh, Keyadua, many stories about the Chofetz Chaim Ruach HaKodesh, and he said, we're living in a generation of Ikvas and the Mashiach. We're there. What does it mean to be an Ikvas and the Mashiach? Says the Vilna Gaon, the Ekev, the heel, is the part of the body that has the least amount of feeling. That's what happens when it's time of Mashiach. People are just not feeling it. They're just not feeling it. How hard do we have to work in order to be able to have some feeling? How many layers of dead skin do we have to scrape away in order to get a little bit of feeling? Just a little bit, that we should feel a little bit of the Hisoiros and the Slavos. And all that work, that's where we're at right now. We're caked in so much muck. That's where we're at. Lo Navi Anu Rotzim Lasus Mimcha. We're not trying to make you into a Navi. Afloi Baal Ruach HaKodesh. We don't even want you, we're not even expecting you to become a Baal Ruach HaKodesh. And in parentheses he says, Bepam Achas. We're not looking for you to become that right now. Eventually, we're going to get there. Bepam Achas, you don't have to become Baal Ruach HaKodesh. Aval, however, Kama Mushchas Umezuam Hu Ben HaMelech. Look how dirty, how filthy, how disgusting. The son of the king, Shenishlach El Martev, he's been thrown down into a cellar, Migul, this dirty cellar, V'yored Lios Migushamu Muhu Mahoilal. And look what he's become. He's the prince. He's the crown prince, and look at him now. He's there languishing in some sort of cellar over there. He's dirty. Sha'al Kolpanim Ein Adoyeg La'atzma. It doesn't even bother him, Bechlal. He's not looking to get to his original state. He's not looking to get back to where he once was. El Zakus Navsho is Karbus El Aviv, to get back to close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a mashal of a father and a son. And the father was a terrible drunk. And it bothered his son so much. And it felt like he was ruining his life. So one time they were walking down the street, and they saw this guy, this hobo he's called, homeless guy. He's in the gutter, he's lying in the gutter. And he's drunk and he's just mumbling and he's like, the guy looks like, it's pathetic. So the son looks at his father and says, you see, look at that guy, look at that guy, look at that drunk. And the father comes running over to him and says, "Buddy, what type of booze are you drinking?" That's all you could think. Don't you see where you are? Don't you see what this is becoming? Don't you see where you're heading? Doesn't it bother you? He's like, he's okay with that. Doesn't bother him. He doesn't expect more of himself. That's where we're at. We're talking about the Ben Melech. It's the crown prince. That's who we are. And it doesn't even bother us. We're okay. We're fine with where we're at. That's what's so disappointing. If we would at least care a little bit about the fact that we have so much promise. There's so much that we could, if we only wanted to accomplish. Hashkafosoi ha'adina, hashkafas ben melech, shenishtana la'ashkafa bezuya. He had this adin, this pristine, this refined hashkafa outlook on himself. He held of himself. He held his head high. He felt like he was royalty. There were things that were once beneath him, and that's gone. It's nishtana la'ashkafa bezuya. Now all he's looking for is, where can I get the booze? You know, that's pretty good booze you got over there. Shema bir al atzmoi, loy ka'al ben melech zach v'toiv. He doesn't see himself that way anymore. Rak al megushom u'mezoyham, hi boiroi, hi orchartoi, u'miyodeya, im b'shvil zeh lo yachlo v'yishar olam b'mezuhasov. Because that'll stay that way. He's just going to stay that way. Because what's wrong? He doesn't expect anything more of himself. I was thinking that perhaps this is the pshat. This week's parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu, who's going to become Moshin Shal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu grows up in the palace of Paro. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu grow up in the palace of Paro? It's a strange place for him to grow up if he's going to be, you know, he's going to be on our team. Perhaps the pshat is that Kadosh Baruch Hu is grooming him for greatness. A person has to feel about himself a certain degree of pride. But after so many years of being slaves and being beaten and downtrodden, so Klal Yisrael, it's hard to have the courage to think about yourself as big. And that was the challenge Moshe Rabbeinu had with them, trying to get them to believe, yes, we're getting out of here. We're not stuck here forever. We're the chosen people. And they had a hard time believing. Moshe Rabbeinu was groomed for royalty, for greatness. He thought big. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu was able to do that. We have to think big about ourselves. We can't just think small. He's nothing big ever going to come of me. I'm nobody. You know, a person thinks big, so then he's able to do that. You know, I don't say much about Bachram walking around with their shirts untucked. I don't talk about it much. We don't like it during davening, for sure, not Yom Lefnei HaMelech, to walk with your, to go in front of the king with your shirt untucked. Right? But it's really more than that. A person who walks with his shirt untucked, he doesn't expect that much of himself. Because a person that really has a certain degree of self-dignity doesn't walk that way. Imagine if a Rosh Hashiva just walked in the door and his shirt was like untucked. Imagine such a thing. It's like, we wouldn't have respect for him. So why do you have respect for yourself? The answer is, I know the answer. I'm not that stupid. I know the answer. But I'm not a Rosh Hashiva. What do you want from me? I'm not a Rosh Hashiva. Well, guess what? You're never going to become one if that's the way you think about yourself. A person has to think big about himself. That I'm a person that has self-dignity and respect. And I'm going to try for this to be my very last mention of Donald Trump. But I'm going to mention Donald Trump. Because someone gave me an article that was amazing. It was an amazing article. And listen, Mikom Alam Dai Iskalti, we're going to learn from him something right now. I don't know how many years ago this was, but this was many years ago. 40 years ago? How many? 25 years ago. The president-elect gets invited to St. Louis to go to a yeshiva dinner. You're crazy, he's going to go to yeshiva dinner. 25 years ago, he's a hot shot, right? You know, no shakas to yeshiva, comes anyway. He meets with the rashi, he says, I want to tell you something. One day I'm going to be president of the United States and I need the people in St. Louis to take care. 25 years ago, he's thinking about being the president of the United States. Now the whole time, people are, they're interviewing him. No, I'm never going to run to be president. He was lying through his teeth, which he's very good at. He knew he was going to be president, and he wanted to be. 25 years ago, he's planning to be president of the United States, and the whole world would laugh at him. Even just 2 years ago, everyone was laughing at him. Never mind 25 years ago. What do you have to do with politics? What do you know about politics? And I'm going to do this. And he's already planning, and he's doing, and he will not stop. Because for him, that's me. If you look at yourself in the mirror and you say, that's me, successful at what I want to do. That's who I'm going to be. You carry yourself differently. You stand differently, you dress differently, you talk differently. Because I have a vision. A person sees himself as royalty. He carries himself as royalty. And then he becomes royalty. So that's what he's saying over here. The problem is, every single one of us has such tremendous koichas, moiridika koichas, to become tremendous tzaddikim, tremendous chachomim, to bring out an aura. The problem is, we lost it. We lost our belief. We lost our hashkafa. We lost our vision. That's it. All you have to do is get it back. You get back your hashkafa and you realize, this is beneath me. I'm bigger than that. I'm the future, whatever you want to be. Future Gadol B'Yisrael, future Mefarnes of Klal Yisrael, future Manhig, future Rav, future Askin, future, but that's me. And all this is all of a sudden, I hold myself high, and I stand tall. Person does that, and then he wants it because he believes in it. And therefore, he won't tolerate anything less. He's going to make it happen. It doesn't make a difference how many scandals he has to go through. It doesn't make a difference how many people are naysayers. He's going to make sure that this happens. He's going to push till the end because he believes in himself. Su'u mini mar etzok. Su'u mini umar etzok. A bitter scream. Ruchi hetzikasni. Al Kain Eshel, mi yidog la'am Hashem ki yorad. Who is going to worry about Am Hashem? Who is going to be concerned about the direction that Klal Yisrael is going in? Im loy atem, if not you. You are the future of Klal Yisrael. Some of us here over 40 are washed up. Once you hit 40, you're done. That's normal. Rabbi Kiva was total aberration. You hit 40, you're over the hill. That was the Chiddush of Rabbi Kiva. He started at 40, but that's a miracle min shamayim. The rest of us are done. We hit 40, you can hang up your cleats. Now you're just like, you know, your backseat driver. Who is the future of Klal Yisrael? Not the 40-year-olds. Atem b'chure Yisrael. You are the future. Umi yishaf. Who is going to yearn? Who is going to seek? Who's going to give himself over to really serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu? L'hashav es Yisrael, to restore Klal Yisrael's glory. El roim kedushasai, vel toyer roich ruchai. Klal Yisrael should get back to the purity of spirit, to the greatness that Klal Yisrael once was. Im lo yatem hapnuyim kol hayoyim, if not you. You're free the entire day, you have nothing else on you. You have no other obligations, no other responsibilities. Mikol mischar umalacha, no business, no work. Virak toyraschem. That's all you have to do is learn Torah. Davin, that's it. Oitchem rakim, you're still young, impressionable, you're still moldable. Oit efshe lachem lahafoich es besarchem lebesar kodesh. You could make that change. You could be hufich, change yourself. At this age, you could turn the page. You could become different. You could mold yourself. Es ruchacham le'esh oichla, to become an all-consuming fire of Avodas Hashem. Ves kol atzmechem le'seferes Yisrael, your very essence give over to the glory of Klal Yisrael. Ulvene heichola de malko, to become people of Hashem's court. Bnei heichola de malko. It's moiridik rabbosai. This week's parasha is a fascinating story where Moshe Rabbeinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, okay, you got to go take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, I'm not really sure this is going to work. And he says, if they ask me, Tunu lachem moifes, show us a sign. Show us a sign. What should he do? Moshe says, what's that in your hand, a mata? Okay, throw that on the ground. Moshe throws the mata on the ground, it becomes a snake. And Moshe Rabbeinu runs away from the snake, which is a little strange because Moshe knew it was his mata. Moshe wasn't a scaredy cat or anything like that. I don't know what it's called. It's not arachnophobia, it's snakeophobia. He probably didn't have that either, right? What's he running away from the snake from? Okay, Moshe, then the Tziv asked the Kasha, I heard Moshe Shapiro speak about, I'll get back in a second. Hashem says, grab the snake. The snake turns back into the mata. What's this whole mifis? What's going on over here? Happens again and again. Dr. Meir Shapiro, Mordekavort. And this is, I'm now weaving together Meir Shapiro and Moshe Shapiro, though I don't think that they're related. One was Hasidish, the other one was very Litvish, but we're going to weave them together. That Nachash that Moshe Rabbeinu ran away from wasn't just Stam a snake. That snake represented the Nachash HaKadmoini, the epitome of evil in this world. And that for Moshe Rabbeinu was scary. Could you imagine the epitome of evil? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, just grab it in your hand, and it's going to become the Mata Hashem. The Mata had the Shem Hashem written on the Mata. This was the Mata, all the miracles, tremendous Kvod Shemayim came from this Mata. Unbelievable. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling the following thing. You've got a people that they are right now in Mitzrayim. They are steeped in the Tumah of Mitzrayim. They're worrying, we can't get out. We're the chosen people. You're joking. If this is the chosen people, we're in serious trouble. Do you know how many Averas these people were doing? You know how much Tumah they were steeped in Tumah? They were like the Nachash himself. Hashem says, Moshe, just grab a hold of them. You grab a hold of them, they're going to change. And they're going to become the Mata Hashem. Because the word Mate is Memtes. And Klal Yisrael went from Memtes Shari Tuma to Memtes Shari Kedusha. They went from the lowest generation in history to the highest generation in history. All they had to be is a hay, which is the five fingers of Moshe's hands, has to be holding onto them. Moshe, you get a hold of them. And you can turn them all the way. You can be hofech, change the direction. And we think that we are who we are, and we have to believe in our ability to change. We're young, and we can change. We just have to put ourselves there, believe in ourselves. We have to want it, consistently pushing ourselves. And then there's a change that happens inside of us. And we thought, oh, I need this tumah. I love this tumah. I want this tumah. Identify, this is me. And you're wrong. You thought it was. You thought you were the Nachash. Guess what? You can become the Mateh Hashem. And all the miracles and all the Kvod Shamayim that comes from the Mateh. All you have to do is put yourself in Moshe Rabbeinu's hands. And everything else is going to happen. Be'ez Hashem will continue.